Hey, y'all. I'm Allison Asarch from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hey, I'm Sean Fraser from the Ritzy Kids.
Hunters, this is Johnny from Rail Motor.
Hey, it's Shane from Blind Season.
Hey, it's Rob Stanier, and you can check out my music on all the streaming platforms.
Check out my latest music on all the streaming sites.
Check out my debut album on all streaming platforms.
Check out our new debut album.
Check us out on Spotify and Apple Music. And you're listening to our friends, Braggy and Curly.
My favorite bands from Australia.
My two favorite podcasts is Braggy and Curly.
Braggy and Curly.
On the
Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to episode 127 of the Unfiltered and Undiscovered podcast. We've got another special guest today. He's going to be talking about his new song that they've got out. But we'll hold that thought for just a little bit because I'm going to welcome Braggy in Adelaide and Rossi in Sydney. How are you, boys?
Very well.
Very well, thank you. Better than you, I think, by the sounds of it, Tone.
Yeah, not great. Not great news today, but okay. I'm in a boot, and we'll see how we go. So I knew that was coming too. So Braggy,
yes,
the cricket, mate. What's happening?
The cricket's just started. I mean, I'm a massive fan, as everyone listeners know. So it's New Zealand versus India tonight, semi-final. Last time I checked, India are off. I don't think anyone can beat them. They're off to a flyer again. But yeah. You know what else is happening right now is the ARIE Awards. I normally don't follow them that closely.
Yeah.
But I did notice that G Flip has won an ARIE, and they were one of the people that Suitcase Records printed one of their vinyl.
Yeah.
And that's out this week. So
congratulations.
G Flip is killing it from what I hear.
Yeah. Well, she's pretty talented. Jeez.
Yeah. And Suitcase had some other good news today. They were the winner of a Zero Business Sustainability Award. So they've been given some money, and it's going to help them reduce the impact of vinyl records on the environment. So they've got a more eco-friendly compound that they can now invest in, and making some waves there. Yeah,
sounds like it sits very comfortable with their values and ethos too.
Yeah, very much so.
That's great.
I was talking to them on the weekend, and they were pretty excited about that. And we couldn't say anything back then because they're in embargo, but it was announced today, so that's fantastic news.
That is really good.
So our special guest, for all the way from Rockhampton, and as Rossi says, not another bloody Queenslander. We've got Zach from Zach Cross Band. How are you, Zach?
I'm good, fellas. How are you?
Excellent.
Good, mate. Good, good, good.
Rocky, that's the cattle country right there, isn't it?
Surely is. Beef capital of Australia.
Yeah, that's the one. And there used to be, I'm trying to think of a pub I used to play at there. Is it the Blue Moose or something? I think, was that a pub? Maybe that might be before your time.
Yeah, it could be, because no, not at all.
And do the locals?
I could be wrong.
And do the locals still take the big Brahmin bulls hook balls in the roundabout or whatever the old myth is? It still happens.
Yeah, I think we got 11 or 12 different bulls, and they all have steel posts through the nuts of the bulls. Every grade 12 scav hunt, they will go and knock them off.
Oh.
See, Rossi? You wonder why we always win State of Origin, mate.
I've been to Rockhampton once, and I was on my way to Townsville.
Oh, dear.
Twice, because I went there on the way back as well.
We love Rocky. I love it. It's always the stop that broke the trip to Townsville in my mind. So, Braggy, over to you. First question, mate.
Zach, I always ask the same question of everyone we have on. I just like to know where the spark happened for you. Where was the first time you went, oh, fuck, music. It's a thing. Did you have musical parents, or was it happen some other way?
My whole family is musical. Definitely got it from my grandfather. Growing up, every event, every Christmas, birthday, Easter, every time we went anywhere, that was always a big band and a big jam session. And I was always too scared to get up there. So now I'm flying the flag.
Yeah. So you played guitar, obviously, from the start then?
Yeah, I started playing guitar maybe in, I don't know, it would have been 10 years old or something like that. I would have started playing properly. Still can't play it properly, so.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, I'll leave that to Lockie, but my main instrument's probably actually the drums, but I have a drummer, so I don't really play them anymore either.
Ah, okay. So it's multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah. Jack of all trades, master of none.
But as a songwriter, playing the drums is very handy, man. Right?
100%. Structure-wise, rhythm-wise, and putting it together comes quite easy. Melodies.
So what's kind of like your process? Do you sort of work it up and give it to the fellas, or do you sort of do it in the room?
No, I'll work on probably a few songs over time, you know what I mean? I'll have a few ideas in my head that I want to write about, and over time there'll be snippets or you know, things will happen or things will be said, or you'll experience something and you know that'll work well for this. I just start writing sort of lines down, and then, you know, when I'm feeling creative and I got enough, bang, you know, she'll happen in 20 minutes. And then from there, you know, pick up the guitar and play it 1,000 times till I figure out how I really want it to go. And then I'll go to the boys and I'll say, what do you reckon? And by the time I'm finished with them, it comes out completely different anyway. So it's a bit of a process, and definitely don't write as much as other people, but I feel like having a band and some other people around you that can bring their influences into it just really helps.
So you're the main writer though in the band.
Yeah.
I read a little part of your little blurb there where you said, I think it's this Too Far Gone song where your drummer kept sending you little lines and stuff. I know there's a guy in our band that happens to. He sits out on his balcony with his medicinal. We call it the lab, and I'll get texts at like 8 o'clock at night or 8:30 at night. These lyrics, how about these? Sometimes they're great, other times. Not so.
Other times they're in reverse, yeah.
I heard that's the last thing that the drummer said when he was in a band. I've got something I've been working on.
Anyway, thanks for coming.
So who's in the band, Zach? Who have we got?
On lead guitar and helps me sing would be Lachlan Plant, on the skins and a one-time songwriter, Bailey Connor. And the bass guitar and who drives us around the countryside everywhere would be Joey O'Shaughnessy.
And okay. Where did you all meet?
Well, Lockie is my little brother's best mate. And I first heard him properly play when he was 16. He was jamming with my little brother, and I popped my head in and sussed it out and thought we better do something about that. So I stole him. I'm not too sure how Colby feels about that, but now he travels with me around the countryside every weekend. It was a few years before he could actually have a beer in the pubs when we were playing, but he lets the hair down now and it's a heap of fun. Bailey was in another band in town here, and they parted ways, I don't know, in 2020, I think it was, and I guess after a couple of weeks, couple of months, we reached out and said, you want to have a jam, thinking that he wouldn't get around it, but he's been with us ever since, so, and now he's got a song on the radio, so that's worked out pretty well.
And
fast forward a year or two, in comes Joey, pretty much the same story. Had a jam with him after he reached out, and he's been with us ever since. So, got the dream team now.
And Zach, did you always, has it always been country for you? Because I mean, just from listening to some of your other songs, there's a real bluesy, rocky sound in some of them, especially like who I am. I had like a Kenny Wayne Shepherd vibe there. I don't know if you know who he is, but yeah.
We're definitely multi-influenced. you know, myself included, growing up on the Lee Kernighans and Keith Urbans and Garth Brooks, you know, and then eventually going over to the Green Days and Linkin Parks and Bring Me the Horizon. Eventually it's got heavier and heavier. You know, I definitely love that heavy, that heavier sound, but every time we come back to country, it does feel like home. So I guess you sort of get that, you try to get the best of both worlds without pushing it too far either way, I guess.
There's no rule.
If you don't dress like it, right? If you don't dress in the leather and you go heavy, people don't think you're as heavy as you are anyway, right?
And people get confused when we rock up and say we're playing country music and wearing snapbacks and, you know, sometimes wearing skinny jeans or something like that. And they go, this doesn't make any sense. And, well, better find out.
I was exposed to watching Post Malone do some country last night. It was pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I'd say Morgan Wallen, Hardy, and Posty are probably my top three right now. And to see them all on the stage together, I hope they keep doing it because it was freaking good.
Yeah,
it was pretty wild, wasn't it?
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah,
what a talent!
Was so much happier. I think, you know, obviously he dabbled and played that bit of Brad Paisley and put out those other sort of covers, and to see him come back and do a similar thing, I don't know, he seems happy every time he does it.
He looked really happy, didn't he? It was a joyous occasion, I thought.
Yeah, bloody oath, and definitely hold his own easily.
Oh, probably. God. We can see he's a multi-talent, that guy, isn't he?
He is, isn't he?
I think we'll see more from him in the country space for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Linkin Park, that's surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're probably, Garth Brooks probably my all-time country, but Linkin Park would be probably my all-time band. Yeah, easily. I was fortunate enough to see them twice before obviously Chester passed away, but it was pretty cool. I was messaging you know, when we put this song out and Jules did the press release for us, you know, she had, you know, anything you want to change, and I said, oh, maybe just change, you know, the influences to, you know, blah blah, you know, whatever. And she come back and said, you know, I've actually worked with Linkin Park before, and Mike and Chester were two of the nicest people I've ever worked with. And I was
yeah,
you never know who's worked with who, do you?
No, you can't get away with nothing.
That's for sure. So tell us about the new song.
Too Far Gone. Bailey is the only song that I've worked with or you know, on with someone else lyrically, and Bailey was sending me lyrics over like that 3 or 4 week period, just bombarding me with them, and eventually started to be able to figure out what he was putting down and cipher through it all. And everyone's probably felt like that at one point or another in their lives. So it came together quite easily once sort of got in that creative zone. Just essentially that nostalgic love gone begging, you know, time of the year where it just, you know, sort of floats through your mind again and you're right back there for a little bit going, what if? So pretty cliche country song, but kind of our spin on it, and obviously this one is not as heavy as some of the other ones we've done.
Yeah, people say they're cliche, but those sort of things happen to everybody, so you know, they're gonna get our version of it. They work. That's why, you know, that's why there's a few.
Yeah.
So many. I had someone say to me the other day, with the rise of AI and self-driving cars, it's only a matter of time before there's a country song about someone's truck leaving them.
Oh, Rossi.
That old one.
That's an AI joke, Rossi.
All right. We're 9 minutes in, Braggy. Let's do part one of Who Am I?
Okay, here we go. Interesting choice I've chosen here now that I've think about it. I was born on November 8th, 1949 in Burbank, California.
Yeah.
Rossi, sometimes you get it straight away like that. Are you Googling it?
Mm-hmm. No.
I know you can do that, mate.
Nah.
That's my mother was a pianist, and my father was an actor in musical productions such as Oklahoma and The Pajama Game. My father was away a lot with the theater, which meant I didn't interact with him as much as I would have liked. I grew to resent my mother, and she became the main authority figure on the household whenever he was away. My musically inclined parents had a strong influence on my life. From a young age, my brothers and I were encouraged to pursue music. Initially, I played the piano, but was intimidated by my mother's abilities. Instead, I began playing a guitar, which I received as a Christmas gift in 1957 at the age of 8. I didn't take lessons and was instead influenced by the American folk revival of the 1950s and the beatnik movement. It represented my whole belief. I grew my hair real long so I looked like a beatnik. Learning how to play songs from folk albums became my hobby. As a teenager, I was self-conscious about my weight and my freckles and saw music as an escape from reality. That was my saving grace. I just sat in my room and played guitar. Not giving much away there. Gave a couple of little clues.
Freckles?
Yeah.
No idea.
Okay.
No idea.
Yeah, it's a hard one, this one, but you'll know this. You'll know the person.
Just as we get to the end.
They're 74 now.
49. That's correct, Rossi.
Would have been their birthday a week ago.
Yep. November 8th. Yep, they're Scorpio like me.
Okay. So Too Far Gone. So what I really liked about the song was that it had a fair amount of space, but it also had these like intricate little, what do I call them, Braggy? Guitar licks, is that the word?
Yeah, there's a lot of little guitar licks in there. Yep, little riffs.
Yeah. So who had the greatest say on how the song was going to come through? And how it was arranged, how it was put together, how it was recorded.
The arrangement wise was pretty simple. I guess it's again probably just a cliche country key that really works well for this sort of stuff. But the song could have taken two different directions. We sort of, one side you could have went that Florida Georgia line-ish with, a bit more of the electric guitar-y stuff and melodic stuff, and generally we're all for that. But we just thought, being that we have, we're quite guitar-orientated in a lot of our songs, we sort of tried to pull it back and make it a bit softer and, like you said, have that space and just fill it up with some of that ambience and... It probably suited the tone of the song a bit easier or a bit better, being that, that nostalgic sort of, floating by on the wind sort of feeling. Probably wouldn't have made as much sense if there was more going on.
Girl, I wanna lay you down. Getting lost in this out of town. Me and you in my truck bed, blowing and blowing around. What we left unsaid wasn't left unfound. A night that I won't forget, baby, buckle up, 'cause it's going down. We're too far gone, wrapped up in a love song. Giving in lost to desire. Burning memories in a midnight moonlight. Like that, we're too far gone. We drove all night long, shotgun singing to your favorite song. By my side, we're forever right. A night so right that it can't be wrong. You're my little angel singing. 24/7. Guess the man upstairs don't answer my prayers. Burned in my mind, like baby, I swear we're too far gone. Wrapped up in a love song, giving it lies to desire, learning memories in a midnight.
Yeah,
it's interesting, isn't it? The songwriting practice. So you I mean, you write the song. You hear the song in your head. I'm assuming you write it on your acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Maybe you might plug your electric in. And then I know, and you think you're talking about when you go, and I've experienced this before too, when you go to the studio and then you might just, I don't know, what do you send them? Do you just send them like the boys, or do you just get together and you just play it before you go to the studio, play them the acoustic version of it? Or do you put a little demo together to send to the guys? Or,
well, yeah, so I'll definitely knock it out on that acoustic while I'm writing it and figuring it out. And as a band, we'll get together and we'll figure out what we want to do and play that, you know, so many times. Then we'll record the live demo, send them off to Jared down at the Gold Coast. And by the time that we go into him, we already know the song fairly back to front. And then we just sort of let him work his magic and figure out all the little bits and pieces that, we can't.
Yeah, I mean, I just know, just listen to your back catalogue. It's either that real sort of country sort of vibe thing, or you guys just, the guitar, that distorted guitar.
We just send it.
It's rocks, yeah. So I'm sad, just thinking, is that your guitarist? Does he hear the song go, you know what this needs?
Yeah. Sometimes when we're putting them together, we do, you know, especially when we're learning them, we have to pull back sometimes because we're going, you know, like we're not playing live. Like you don't have to dive bomb everything.
Yes, you do. Oh, I want to hear dive bombing in the country songs. That'd be cool.
Like No Tomorrow. That was exactly what happened. We were trying to figure out just the little leading parts at the end of the song, and he goes, "What about if I do this?"
I like that song.
Yeah, I like the way it kicks off too, like Tomorrow, No Tomorrow. Like
and Who I Am, I really like as well.
Yeah.
Who I Am is probably a little bit different to, especially some of the other stuff we're going to bring out. It's probably a Lone Ranger in a sense, because it's not that country at all compared to like No Tomorrow. I feel like it's just...
It's bluesy.
I don't really know what else it's like. It's just kind of sitting over there by itself.
Well, that's good though. And so you guys did like the EP, five songs on the EP, Rossi, which is, I think, is your theory.
It's getting very close to mini album.
Yeah.
It's on the cusp.
And bring the singles out and then put them all out. So it's Too Far Gone, the second one, I'm thinking, that's going to be on the next whatever. Are you going to do it that way? Or?
Yeah, so we so we obviously we had the EP, which was those five songs, and then then this album that will come out is 11 songs. Who oh, I Am and Too Far Gone are both on that album.
On that,
The rest of them are done. They're ready to go. We just got to figure out when we're bringing them out. But there was probably a handful of the songs on this album that were already done when we went and did the EP. But kind of thought that the works in that EP needed to be together, and this sort of next stuff needed to, you know, happen there as well.
Yeah, because you move on as songwriters as well, and
I do think that the songs, especially, how they're written, are a lot better, personally in the album. But and like I said, we had some of them there, but I just thought the EP needed to come first, and I guess you show some natural progression, but the next body of work it all works together, and it's all there for a reason. So we put those other five out first, and I guess used it to find our sound, and then now when you hear it, sometimes for us when we hear it now we go, oof, why did we do that? But it needed to happen.
Look, but who knows what the strategy ever should be? It just keeps on changing every day, like how you go about it. Yeah,
I mean, when we were doing that EP, our favorite song as a band is definitely Like No Tomorrow. When we were recording it, I was saying to Jared, our producer, going, "Is this too heavy? Like, is this over the top? Are we going to upset people putting this out?" He's going, nah, she'll be right, it'll be fine, trust me. And then I think a week later, Hardy released Sold Out, and I messaged Jared, and I just went, we're a bunch of pussies. we could have went way harder than what we did.
But sometimes you just don't know, do you? So Like No Tomorrow, it's just got that real, like when you listen to Days Gone By, it follows on into that on Spotify, and you go, my God, is this the same band, as it sort of kicks in? And then you're listening to your full back catalogue, and the songs are different. Everyone's got its own little flavour. Some has got that real bluesy thing. Others, you're hearing that real tinge. But I must say, and I think it was the one that's out now, Days Gone By, I was listening to the lyrics, and I swear I heard down the Dapto track, and I'm thinking, is he talking about the Dapto dogs or something? But I misheard the lyrics, so I thought it was quite humorous. But the lyrics that I love is on Times Like These. I think that is such a well-crafted and such a good little lyrics, like, it's a Friday night in the football game, I'm going to change her name. I wonder how you...
Yeah, that's a good lyric.
Yeah, good lyric. And I like, it's times like these, you write songs like this. So.
Yeah, that's another good... Yeah, I picked that one out too. That's good. I'm a massive fan of lyrics, so I love that.
Me too, because I'm probably not the greatest musician, but if I can write a good song, it should help get us over the line. I think... especially with the EP, I guess the theme, theme-wise for that whole EP was, nostalgia. I guess we're all big sucker, especially in country music, nostalgia is such a big thing. So I feel like Times Like These definitely captured that. And it was probably the first song I wrote on that EP. And it came together quite quickly once I started writing it. And it just, I don't know, when you're in the zone, it just sort of flows, and I feel like lyrically whether it's good or not straight away. And I did really like writing that song. I don't know, just sort of when the inspirations are flowing, hey, just sort of happens.
I think sometimes the lyrics flow better too when you're actually writing about something you've gone through as well. The lyrics will come quicker than if you're, trying to manufacture something.
If I sit down and try and write a song, I can't do it. it has to come. You have the idea, you have those little things to work on, but then when it comes, it just you know, it's nearly just like.
Quick song's a good song.
Yeah, the fast one's usually the best one.
Get it out fast. Yeah. Get it out fast. Yeah. Just that stream of consciousness flow. You can't beat it, I don't reckon.
Yeah. And get on to the next one.
Yeah. And it'll always be at the worst time. You know, you'd be in the shower or you'd be on the loo or something. And I'll remember that. And then you never do.
Yeah.
That could have happened.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey, so, bragging.
Number two, part two.
Yeah, you want to do part two? Hold your thought on the question.
So. No, that's okay. Okay. We left this person. They were in their room playing guitar. After graduating from high school, I entered Radcliffe College of Harvard University, majoring in social relations and African studies. I was the lead singer in a campus music group called the Revolutionary Music Collective, which played for striking Harvard students during the student strike of 1970. I befriended blues promoter Dick Waterman. And during my second year of college, I left school for a semester and moved to Philadelphia with Waterman and other local musicians. It was an opportunity that changed everything. In the summer of 1970, I played the Philadelphia Folk Festival, as well as opening for John Hammond at the Gaslight Cafe in New York. I was seen by a reporter from Newsweek who began to spread the word about my performance. Scouts from major record companies were soon attending my shows, and eventually I accepted an offer from Warner Brothers, who released my self-titled debut album in 1971. While admired by those who saw me perform and respected by my peers, I gained little public acclaim for my work. My critical stature continued to grow, but record sales remained modest. My second album, Give It Up, was released in 1972 to positive reviews. One journalist described the album as an excellent set and established the artist as an inventive and sympathetic interpreter. However, it did not change my commercial fortunes. I haven't given much away there.
That's pretty good.
I have no idea.
Fellas know I'm 28, hey?
Hey?
This is well before my time.
Yeah, that's true. But I reckon... I think you'll know who this is, Zach.
Yeah, you think
so?
Yeah.
See, so Rossi, I have to make him hard for Rossi because he's like a music brain.
Yeah.
No, this is out. I've got a feeling this is outside of my area.
Oh.
I haven't got a glimmer of recognition.
Okay. I have to make him hard.
Good. I like that. I think it's good.
Okay.
So, Zach, you mentioned that you travel all around the country. What sort of gigs and where do you play?
Sort of travel around the countryside for the last 6 years. Probably as a band for three, but mostly rural Queensland, I guess. You know, we'll jump on the back of any event or, you know, people will hit us up to come and play all sorts of things. But we're gradually transitioning. And I guess that comes with putting your own music out to playing the festivals and getting on lineups and doing more of that sort of stuff. So, I mean, we played the Gympie Muster twice now. We played a whole bunch of other festivals, really, but sort of trying to edge away from those, smaller country shows now. And branch into doing our own stuff where we can.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a lot more festivals, isn't there, Zach, at the moment? A lot more little festivals, seems to be, to me.
Yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, the bigger ones are always going to be hard to get on for up-and-coming artists, but there's a lot more of the, you know, those small to medium-sized festivals getting around now where you can jump on and you can play your own stuff and, you know, instead of going to play the four-hour pub shows and covers and, you know, or try and entertain people at a races, you can go and play your stuff for an hour and a half and it just comes more naturally. It's probably funner for us playing our own stuff too.
Yeah.
I guess it's hard in some of the smaller country towns in Queensland too because they always gravitate to covers a lot, I figure.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, if you play those... standard shows that we're all used to playing. It can be really hit and miss when you play your own stuff. you know, everyone will leave all of a sudden, go and get themselves a beer. And you've got to make sure you follow it up with friends in low places or something and get them all back. But at the same time, it can also be rewarding, because when you do play your own stuff and there is some people there that know it, yeah, well, damn.
Exactly. And having to play friends in low places, you learn your live craft, don't you? You learn what works and, you know.
If I'm ever struggling, friends in low places is what's coming up next, even if we played it four times.
I was just about to ask, is there a cover that you make your own? And it sounds like there is. So.
Most of them, I mean, you know, when you play, you know, nearly every weekend for years, it gets a bit boring to play the same, you know, you change
Boots,
your sets, obviously.
Boots, good, boogie.
Same ones, you got to change them up and do your own thing and just talk some smack to the crowd and that. and, you know, I'll end up falling asleep, but the wagon wheels and chicken fries and horses, you know, they can...
I reckon the record. I saw Goanna do Solid Rock twice in the one set.
There you go.
1984. Yeah. But the record I saw Twisted Sister do, and We're Not Going to Take It, three times in the one show. It was disgraceful.
Yeah.
But you got to. You know, people love it too. I couldn't believe it. They started playing again. They go, no, they can't. Yeah, no, they are. Not.
That could be us in 20 years playing Too Far Gone five times in a set.
Hey, you wouldn't complain, would you? If people like your song that much, you know.
Yeah. Want to hear it that much.
Might go back to playing horses or something by then.
Yeah. Horses. No.
So Too Far Gone as a live version, is it a replica of what you've recorded, or do you mix it up a little bit?
Oh, it's still not as rocky as other stuff, you know, that we play live, but I think no matter what we record, it always comes out a little bit rockier live. You know, just naturally happens for us. I don't know why, but it's also good too, I guess, like when you hear it live, but it sounds a little bit different to the recordings, probably always a little bit exciting for people too, so we try and lean into that a little bit.
Zach, you said you got another 9 songs that's going to be on this album that comes. Was there, I don't want any scoops or anything, but was there any like surprises of songs that really changed radically from writing to when you recorded?
And it was probably the last three that we recorded are probably the ones that changed the most, or it came a little bit left field, because I had, like I said, the majority of them, I had them done and we took them down to Jared and it was all pretty easy. We already had it created in our heads. But the last three, one of those songs in particular, I had done in the, you know, when I did the EP, it was written at the same time as I wrote all them. And, you know, showing some natural progression, sort of looked back at those words, specifically the lyrics, and went, that's got to change. I can do better than that. So on the fly, within that day or two, I sort of rewrote it and basically completely changed it. The crux of the song's still there, but it's a new song, and that will almost definitely be a radio single if we get through that, because... It come out. It's probably nearly. I think our producer actually came out and said it's his favorite song out of all of them. So, and it is probably the softest song as well out of every single one we've done.
Okay.
You know, make sense of that.
So it's interesting, isn't it? So, like Rossi said, sometimes the quick songs, the songs that come quick, are really good and the best ones. But then there's other times when you take some more time, and you revisit it, and sometimes they come out the best because. You know, you take it.
Yeah, 100%. Because I think sometimes if they're not coming super quick, it doesn't. I don't think it necessarily means it's a bad song. I just, you know, sometimes you can get stuck on that idea or that melody or that progression, and then you can't get it out of your freaking head. and then you kind of get hamstrung a bit, where if you put that down, you know, and I've had a song that I'll pick up a year later and go, I really like that song. Or you hear something else that kind of inspires you a little bit. You go, this song could work for that. Mm. And then bang, comes out in 20 minutes and you go, oh, that was that 12 months ago.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So.
Or sometimes you just do the complete opposite to what you think you should do. And it might work, but you'll get an idea from that.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like I said, I'm not one of those people that writes 100 songs and picks the top 10, but there's still a few that get shelved.
Yeah.
They're just going to stay over there because they didn't turn out as good as they could have, or, you know, they were written in this collection of works, but like I said, there's still an idea there that might present itself in another song, you know, down the track that you can draw on still. So none of it's a waste.
I was talking to a very Queensland songwriting mate of mine earlier this week, and he said he's never happy with an album unless he's tossed a couple of songs out first.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's true. If I recorded every song that I wrote, I would probably be paranoid that there's a few shockers in there. So
he's working hard enough.
Yeah,
for sure.
Keeping the best.
It makes you go, sorry, Curly, you go.
You're right. Zach, I don't know if you'll appreciate this or not, but when I was listening to your music today, I heard a little bit of the Spin Doctors, you know, that song they put out, Two Princes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sitting here trying to think, who does this remind me of? And I forgot exactly the song I was listening to at the time. But to me, I think there's a little bit more rock than country in a lot of your songs. And Two Princes really just came to me in one of your versions. So I don't know if I've insulted you or not, but I certainly picked up that in, and I wish I could remember the song now, but anyway, Braggy, did you hear anything like that?
I said the first thing I wrote, and I usually write what comes into my head first. Do you know who Kenny Wade Shepherd is? Rossi, you would know Kenny Wade Shepherd. He's a bluesy guitarist, but I think he's got a bit of country in him, hasn't he?
That's what
just the tone of that, who I am. That's what that, I wrote that straight down. So, and I guess, I guess Keith Urban, you know, he's kind of rocky as well.
Oh, he's got a lot of rock in him.
I mean, he comes from, you know, I saw him play in a cover band years and years ago up and down the Queensland coast.
Yeah.
Well, he's in the ranch when he got to Sydney.
Yeah, it was before then, I think,
Country players need telecasters, I tell you.
What have we got? We got tellies?
Recorded, there's definitely tellies. We'll sort of play Strats live, but the main culprit would be Lockie's Gibson for sure. Definitely, you know, if we want to go a little bit heavier.
I knew Lockie was a Gibson man.
Yeah, he's definitely a Gibson man. The Strat that he plays, he built himself, and I think he's about to do the same with the tally, because you still can't go past the tally, and definitely some of those leady parts in certain songs were definitely played on a tally, and you can definitely hear a Keith influence from Lockie when he
cranks the tally. Yeah.
Keith's a good player though, man. I'm sure he's got enough people telling him.
If he doesn't one track it or get it in the first 30 seconds, he does get frustrated, and then
truly
step outside and have a beer and let you do your thing for a bit.
That's cool.
So Zach, do you upset any of the traditional country people with what you're putting out, or is it still, you've got your following, and looking at Spotify, 49,000 monthly listeners, so you've got a sizable following there. But do you upset some of the more traditional country folk?
I mean, probably. if I have, they haven't stopped to tell me. But I mean, it's kind of funny you say that, especially with, you know, who I am. I was talking to a guy. We were in between sets at one of our shows, and he came up to me. He goes, I really like all your stuff. You know, you're really good at that Morgan Wallen-ish, you know, that Luke Combsy, like you're really good at that sort of stuff. And he goes, and you sound quite like that area of music. And he goes, but I got to say, Who I Am doesn't really sound like you. And I just went, the song is called Who I Am.
It doesn't sound like you.
Like, it's exactly me on paper, you know. And that's why we can't do that stuff all the time, because we will upset everyone.
Oh, it's a like classic.
It's a pretty broad church, Australian country, right? Yeah, like there's a lot of different stuff. There's a lot of different styles, and there's room for everyone. In America, they're a lot more snooty, I believe.
They got post Twain. Lines in the country now.
Yeah.
But Shania Twain's not country enough for them, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I really hate that argument these days, you know, because if country stayed the same as it was 20 or 30 years ago, well, then we'd still be 20 or 30 years ago. It has to progress somehow. Otherwise, every song is going to sound the same. And I mean, you know, what do you do? Like, we still all love all that old stuff. And it doesn't mean that it's gone, or we don't listen to it, or we don't play it when we do some covers. But it has to progress, you know.
It's been like that forever, though. Like, freaking Willie Nelson, some of his greatest songs are freaking jazz standards.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and you say Willie Nelson, you straight away think country, but.
Yeah.
But then the other side of the coin. In the rain and things like that. We've got jazz chords all through them. And
the other side of the coin is Taylor Swift is just about the biggest pop star in America. And she's not country.
Pop star in the world.
I just think it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah.
No matter what music you play, I just think it's counterproductive to try and be put in a genre or labeled as a, you know, you fit into this category or whatever. And I feel like if you're making music, you shouldn't even be trying to fit category. I feel like you should just be playing whatever you're feeling or whatever sound comes out, and then it's just going to be placed wherever people place it.
Humans, mate. It's humans. We love to put things in categories. Music, freaking people. That's what half the fucking problem is.
100%. Yeah. I mean, you still got to be wary, you know. As much as we love that heavier sound, well, that's not going to make country radio, is it? So it's you've got to kind of play the game a little bit without losing your sound, you know.
Yeah.
So get on there first, then push the boundaries.
Yeah.
They'll get a foot in the door and then drop the heat. Yeah.
Yeah. People like a little bit of outlaw country anyway, mate.
I love it.
I like a little bit of outlaw country.
So you've had some airplay?
Very much. We, you know, with Too Far Gone and then some of the other radio singles that will follow, being that softer, more radio-friendly song, if they only to that and then come and listen to the rest of the stuff, I'm a little bit nervous that they'll be like, oh, my God, this is nothing like what I heard on the radio.
Yeah, but it's certainly listenable, and that's the key thing. So you've had radio play?
Yeah, so this is the first one that we've done with Jules and done the radio thing, and it's working out really well. We got the Kix rotation now. We got Triple M rotation and Australian country music something or other rotation as well. We got to run on ABC's Saturday Night Country program as well.
Okay.
Cool.
So congratulations. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
Being green at the radio side of things, I'm pretty sure they're all good things, but I'm sure as we put more music out, we'll be able to compare apples to apples.
Yeah, that's good. Just anything, you know.
Yeah, anything to get your music. Hey, Braggy, part three. Let's bring that one home.
Bring it on home. Okay. This person released their first album in 71, then 72. Listen to this. I released albums in 73 and 74.
Yeah.
And began to receive greater press coverage, including a 75 cover story for Rolling Stone magazine. By this point, I was already experimenting with different producers and different styles. I began to adopt a more mainstream sound and made an appearance on Warren Zevon's eponymous album. I came to know Lowell George of the band Little Feet and was strongly influenced, Rossi, by his style of playing slide guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I continued to make albums and play live with little gratification. I struggled with alcohol and drugs and was eventually dropped by Warner Brothers in 1983. It wasn't till 1989, when under the guidance of Don Was at Capitol Records, I started recording a mix of pop and blues songs for an album called Nick of Time, that I finally achieved commercial success after 20 years in the business at the age of 40. The album went to number one on the US album charts and has been voted number 230 in Rolling Stone's greatest albums of all times. BB King once called me the best damn slide player on the planet. Revered amongst blues players with my distinctive red hair and growling vocals, my name is, any ideas?
Is it Bonnie Raitt?
Yes.
Yes.
Cannot get Rossi.
I love slide players. I
just
love slide.
Can't get him.
I love a slide player.
Curly, you heard of Bonnie Raitt?
Yeah, I have. But,
she's kind of country.
Yeah, she's, yeah.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But what about that? 40, she was 40 and she started when she was like,
20 years to become an overnight sensation.
Yeah. There's a lot to say about persistence.
Yep.
Yeah. Last man standing. Keep going, Zach.
Keep going, Zach. I give up.
I'll have no hair by the time.
That's okay.
So is Nashville an option? Is that, are you guys looking overseas at all, or?
Well, anything's an option. I mean, before we try and venture over there, we might try conquer here first for the next year or two, and then we'll see how we go. But I mean, that's any country musician's dream goal, wouldn't it? Go over to Nashville and do your thing. But
we've had people on this show that have just gone there, like with no one, just jumped on a plane and went there, and it has all happened for them while they're there. Isn't that right, Kelly?
Yeah, that's an amazing story. That was Clara Dobich back in whatever episode that was on. She just jumped on a plane and suddenly, when she was in LAX there at Los Angeles, suddenly realized that she actually didn't know anyone in Nashville, and how was she going to produce a record when she didn't know anyone? And she did. So it was just amazing.
Many details.
Yeah, just many details. And, you know, we've got this fresh wave of Australian country artists, the likes of James Johnson and, you know, I think Billy Rose has played over there as well, and all these people that have gone and played certain things over in Nashville. And I just think, you know, and of course we've got a long-term friend of the podcast, Alison Asarch, who's actually based in Nashville, and she's plugging away. So we know how competitive it is over there, don't we, Braggy? So
We do.
I was surprised when I was there, like you walk down the street and there's a 20-foot poster of Keith Urban. Like, really?
Yeah.
Like, man. He's from a, but that's the capital of the country world, you know? It's actually the music capital of the world, really. LA's lost it. Nashville. Yeah.
I'd agree with that.
Music City, they don't call it that for no reason, you know?
Well, the funny thing about that story also, Ross, is when I was in Ireland, 2022, you're driving along Ireland and you see this the roadside signs of Jamoan. So, you know, the comedian. And you go, my God, is he Australian? maybe not as, confronting as Keith Urban in Nashville, but Jamoan in Ireland, it just seemed a really interesting fit. So Zach, what's happening? What's next for you guys? You're getting the album out, and then what's your plans, or do you have plans?
I actually go overseas myself. This time next week, I'll be getting on a plane. So I've had to get everything in order for the next song to come out in February, I believe, is when it will. So I sort of had to organize that now. So it's right to go when I come home. And then from there, hopefully, I'll be able to work out another two or three singles for the year. And whether the album comes out next year, at the end of next year or early 2025 is yet to be seen. But like I said, we'll still be recording next year, and we'll just maybe a potential few co-writes as well. And, you know, we'll just see what happens. Obviously, just try to play as many shows as we can and get on some lineups and just keep doing our thing like that. But it does feel good knowing that those songs are recorded and ready to come out. It kind of takes the pressure off a little bit.
And we know good people if you want to get it onto vinyl, Zach. So so you're on Facebook, obviously you're on Spotify. We'll have all those links in the show notes so people can chase you up. The music that we'll edit in later to the show tonight, you'll be able to find them on our Unfiltered, Undiscovered playlist on Spotify. Zach Crossband, it's some pretty cool stuff there. And listen to the back catalogue. Follow the links, listen to the back catalogue, and especially some of those songs that we've sort of talked about tonight. So there's some, like No Tomorrow, that's got a really interesting start to it, and you're sort of thinking, this ain't country. So, but it's such a cool little song. As for always, we are always we're on YouTube ourselves, Facebook, TikTok. Check out our website, Unfiltered, Undiscovered. Enjoy our playlists on Spotify. Braggy, Rossi, it's always a pleasure. Zach, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And lyrics from the playlist, I cannot go by this one tonight. It's actually from the Zach Cross Band, and it's The Right Girl and A Midnight Kiss. It's times like this, you write. It's times like these, you write songs like this. That is a cracker of a line. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Don't forget to follow Zach, and we will see everyone. Thanks again, Zach. We'll see everyone next week. Bye for now.
Bye. It's a campfire in the Milky Way, or sand dunes in the crashing waves. It's a Friday night in a football game. I'm gonna change your name. Good those nights that you never forget, watching the sunrise with your best friends. It's one hell of a time. Unstoppable vibe. Watching your favorite band in the pouring rain. Forever in your arms, listening to her sing. She knows every line. It's an unforgettable night. It's times like these that I remember my whole life. It's a campfire in the Milky Way. Sand dunes in the crashing waves. It's a Friday night and a football game. I'm gonna change her name. High. Yeah, when everyone knows.